Local resident Fatima Jaguri is a Kansas State University student. She's also a U.S. Army veteran who fought in Iraq. She's a Gold Star wife and originally from Afghanistan. Her family, her mother and her siblings immigrated here back in the late 90s after her father was murdered at the hands of the Taliban. Now she's trying to do the same for her family, many of which remain in Afghanistan and are trying to flee to freedom. Fatima agreed to share her story with News Radio KMAN, and here is that conversation. Fatima, you have a connection that probably just about no one else here in the Manhattan area has, and that you escaped Afghanistan over 20 years ago. Tell us how you came to America and what the situation was like then versus what we're seeing now.
Well, I was born in Afghanistan, and my father actually was killed because he released American hostages. He was a part of the Mujahideen, but then as the uprisings came and they went through a civil war, he noticed that people started getting violent towards their own people. They weren't fighting the Russians anymore, and he was not up for that. So he fought against it, and that led to his death. My mom fled with us in the middle of the night, and I don't remember anything of it because I was 2.5 years old. We lived in Pakistan until I was 10, until we got our paperwork to come to the United States. And that was all pure luck and a lot of people pushing and shoving. The process right now, I think, of people trying to come to the United States as we're drawing out is not as extensive, obviously, because that took years. And this is supposed to take months, which is why we need to have a little bit more time to actually give these people a fighting chance and give our people that are working to get their interpreters out, to get our allies out, we need to give them an opportunity to actually be able to do that. We're not doing that. So that is, the same fear is coming back and is coming back and it's being instilled in people's hearts already is people are breaking, their musical instruments because they're saying, women who are artists are having to tear and burn their art. It's tragic, and it's and I know the Manhattan community is a huge supporter of the arts, and it's amazing, you know, everything the K-State does. And I don't know, I think it's just heartbreaking to watch actual musicians just break their instruments, things that they absolutely love and adore. I'm sure other people who love music or play an instrument know that to watch that kind of watch it burn is, I'm sure, is going to be heartbreaking. And this is not just going to be suffering for a few years. This is going to be generations, and it's going to lead to a lot of heartbreak. And we've been in Afghanistan, the United States is in Afghanistan, like for the past 20 years. 20 years is a very long time. Be in one place. You have you have generations of kids that grew up knowing Americans, knowing and working with Americans, and now we're like, hey, you get a month. Congratulations. And that to me is heartbreaking because when I heard that, all I did literally was I've done a lot of crying, and I just broke down in my basement. I was crying for days. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ask for a bunch of veterans for help, and we'll see how it goes. I walked into the Flint Hills Veterans Coalition, and the outpouring of just support and love was just so overwhelming. It's completely indescribable right now. I was so lost. And they also did not know who to turn to, but each person helped. And I will say I love that about this community. Yeah, I have lost my husband to this war on his fourth deployment. He was a Kansan in Afghanistan. I've lost my father to the Taliban. I served in the United States Army for 8 years. I deployed to Iraq with 1st IB. I don't know, what I'm a K-State student. I don't know what other credentials I need to, get some support to bring my family to safety. And to ask the administration for some help, this is like, this is veterans that are working day. I'm on these different chats, and there are people that are not sleeping. They're just like, hey, I've been up for 28 hours. I'm going to take a 10-minute nap. I'll come back. And it's, for one, it makes me so proud to be a part of the America that we have all these veterans that just all they want to do is they want to help these complete strangers, and they're not sleeping, and they're doing this all on volunteer. And that's the most amazing part, is these veterans came together and they have formed their own organizations throughout the country trying to get some sort of help out there. And they need support, and they need recognition, and the amazing things that they have done is just, it's crazy. But we need to support our allies right now more than ever, and I don't think I'll ever forgive myself if I can't do, or if I didn't do everything I can to help the Afghans that stood alongside American soldiers, the Afghans that my husband fought alongside, that my brother fought alongside, that helped them get through all of their missions. Like, we cannot just leave people. We cannot just abandon it at this time. It's inhumane, is what it is. And it's gonna lead to a humanitarian crisis. It already will be. Like, it's already in that process. It's going to be tragic. And we're going to have a population that's going to have to live with survivor guilt for the rest of their life. And the outpour of veterans that are serving right now, that are doing everything they can, that's their biggest fear, is they want to say they do not want to have to live with survivor guilt for the rest of their life. That is why they're working themselves day in and day out.
Yeah, well, it's such a tough situation right now for so many people here in America who feel helpless against this. And have you been able to reach out yet to any of our congressional delegation to let them know that you have family over there?
I have. I've been in contact with Senator Moran's office. I've been in contact with Senator Congressman Mann's office. And it's like, okay, well, here, send us this application. And I send it out. And it just goes into a black hole. I don't get anything back. I'm not like, okay. They're like, yep, we sent it up. We're just going to wait. I'm like, I don't have time to wait. I have a family that's literally waiting in Kabul to avoid getting killed, because they're directly related to U.S. American soldiers and U.S. American veterans, not one, but two of them. Like, I don't know what other credibility I need to get some sort of, like, solid support, but it's not happening. But.
And how many family members do you have over in Afghanistan right now?
The majority of my family is in Afghanistan. There's one SID applicant that I'm trying to pull through because he was in an IED at He was in an IED blast with the same attack that other Americans were in 2013, and he almost lost his leg. That's the person that's my uncle that I'm trying to bring over, because he ended up having to flee Kabul and burn his paperwork and everything to avoid getting brought in by the Taliban. So his leg got infected. Like, it's not just one thing, it's not two things. Like, he's not, and then him and his family. And I have a lot of other family, but they did not serve, and they don't have the appropriate documentation. I wish I could save everybody. I deeply, deeply wish that, but I know the limitations, and I know that there's a lot of bureaucracy you got to go through. And goodness gracious, that layer is thick. So I'm just trying to...
Yeah. Right. I'm going to say, this is tough, and there's so many hurdles, it sounds like, that... Are you in constant contact with some of these family members? And if so, what's kind of their perspective of what the mood's like over there?
They're terrified. They can't stay in one place, so they have to keep moving. So they have to find a different person to go to. And some of the people are now not going to be opening their doors anymore, because they're also terrified of the Taliban coming in and checking people. They're looking for paperwork. People are burning any documents that they have that's related or has any wish on it, because they're terrified. knowing that once they burn those documents, they have no opportunity to try to apply or try to get out of that country afterwards.
So many of us don't have any idea of what this, you know, what this is even like. You know, a lot of us haven't been to that part of the world, and it's not like you could just cross a border into another country here that to seek refuge. This is a, you know, an area that's been battle torn for many, many years. There's really no rule of government, is there?
No, not really. They are fighting, though. I know that there's Afghan forces that are trying to fight. The one thing about Afghan people is they're never going to give up. And the Taliban can take over one area and they can take over another area and they can start doing the same thing, but they're just going to run their cycle through. But there are going to be mass amounts of civilian casualties in that process.
Yeah.
That's the tragedy. Of all of it, is that all the girls are just these girls that have grown up, and this is the heartbreaking part, is that this is 20 years in the making. These girls grew up with, like, okay, I have the hopes of, okay, I can go to school, I can go do this, I'm going to get a job, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. We've been building up their hope for 20 years only for the Taliban to come in and say, yeah, no, go back.
Yeah, totally.
I can't imagine that, like, that heartbreak right now. But my heart weeps for them, and their moms were just terrified for their daughters.
Total disaster, yeah, absolutely. Well, I know there's a deadline of August 31st. Do you think that's a hard deadline? And what happens after that if that day comes by and people are still trying to get out?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to see, like, I don't know how President Biden, like, his kids served in the United States military. Like, if one of his kids were stranded, he would do everything in his power to make that happen and to pull that and to try to get his kids over. And he needs to give us the same opportunity. And the people who have served over there, you have family members that are U.S. citizens here that are terrified for their family overseas because they're in danger. That the 31st August is not, like, it is not adequate time to get people out. We're leaving thousands and thousands of people behind, thousands of people who risk their lives to stand alongside us. It is a hard deadline to meet. We are not going to be able to meet it, and it's going to lead to a lot of casualties, and it's going to be devastating after.
Well, I know that there's a lot of support here in the community for you. If people want to support your effort here, what would be your message to people in Manhattan that hear this and want to help?
Right now, reach out to Senator Moran and Senator Marshall and Congressman Mann's office and the mayor of Manhattan, because we need as much support as we can get. I see these little articles about, oh, we got these many families out, we got this many families out. And as awesome as that is, there's still so many more that need to get out, and they need to focus their attention on that. I have been trying to email Senator Marshall's office for the past week and a half. I haven't gotten anything back. The email address that's up there, you send an email. I haven't received anything from that email address. The phone number that is listed does not work. I've called it. It goes straight to this voicemail. It's supposed to leave a voicemail. I left a voicemail. I sent emails to Senator Marshall. Nothing. I haven't gotten anything back from it. Just what I'm saying is we need to bring attention to our delegates, to our people that we vote for, people that are supposed to help us and help Kansans. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of Afghans in the Kansas community that are Kansans that need help, that need people to speak up for them, because we're not being heard.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you sharing your story, and hopefully we can get this to some more ears in our community that aren't aware, and hopefully we'll get a better outcome here for you here and your family.
Okay, thank you so much.
Once again, that is Fatima Jaguri, a Kansas State University student and U.S. Army veteran.